Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Think about what the world would look like without sand. Not only would we lose beautiful sandy beaches, modern life as we know it would cease to exist. Our overwhelming demand for sand has placed this natural resource in a perilous situation. Every year, more than 15 billion tons of sand is used for homes, skyscrapers, bridges, airports, sidewalks, toothpaste, microchips for our cell phones, and other gadgets, you name it. Behind air and water, sand is the most used commodity in the world. If we don't protect sand, this finite natural resource can disappear by the year 2100. So what can we do to protect this precious resource? What are the ecological and human impacts of sand mining? The compelling and insightful documentary Sand Wars investigates the human and environmental costs of intensive beach sand mining around the world, and it happens on a daily basis. Joining us to talk about this is Denis Delestrac, a journalist, writer, and award-winning director. He's made a number of documentaries, including his most recent, Sand Wars. You can see the film tomorrow at Fort Mason's Cowell Theater in San Francisco at 6 o'clock. Denis will be there for a Q&A, and you can find ticket information at yourcallradio.org. And Denis Delestrac joins me here in studio. Hi, welcome to the show. Thanks
good
for coming
morning.
In.
Good morning, Rose. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to see you. So, wow, this is an amazing film on many levels. It's also kind of outrageous because you see what's happening to the oceans, and we'll talk about that throughout the hour. But first of all, this is not something that we think about when we talk about the environment. How did you become interested in doing a film about sand?
Well, you know, I grew up on the beach. You know, my parents were in France at the time on the coast of Brittany. And from 0 to 8, you know, we went to the beach like every weekend and, every summer on vacation, etc. And then my parents moved to the south of France, kind of far away from the beach. But every time I could, I had an opportunity, I found my way back to the beach. So in the summer when I was a student, I went, you know, to work as a bartender or as a beach boy. I was always attracted by the beach. But never in my life until recently I had thought about what makes the beach. The sand, the grains of sand, all those grains of sand. And that was until one morning of 2010. At the time, I had just finished a film that was a pretty long production that was based in Montreal in Canada. And so the film was kind of, you know, a long production, took several years to make. And I had like what filmmakers know, the post-editing hangover. Right, so I came back after a few years in Montreal. I came back to Barcelona, and that was the winter. And one Sunday morning, I decided to go for a walk on the beach. I just needed to, you know, take my shoes off and relax and, you know, see the horizon to kind of clean my brain. And this beach in Barcelona where I've been walking on for the last 15 years, that's about the time I've been living in Barcelona now, usually was a beach, you know, very wide and thick beach, you know, very healthy beach, as geologists would say, 200 feet wide, very nice. And that Sunday morning, the beach was gone. There were 20 feet of sand, and then the water and the sand had disappeared. And for the first time in my life, I asked myself the question, the very simple questions that we don't ask usually. It's like, what is sand? Where does it come from? And where does it go? And that triggered the investigation. I went back home and I went on the internet. I just typed sand, erosion, and things started to come out that I had no idea. You know, sand mafia, beaches, most of the world's beaches are disappearing. Most consumed resource, commodity on earth after, you know, water and air. And so I was just getting really, really excited and really passionate about sand. And I wrote a script, and I got partners pretty quickly to you know, go along with me and create this film, Sand Wars.
Those of us listening might think, what, beaches are disappearing? What are you talking about? Because as you know, we're lucky enough to live around, we're surrounded by beautiful beaches in Northern California. So can you elaborate on that? What do you mean when you say the world's beaches are disappearing?
Well, the beach, it's pretty simple. The sand is the most dynamic resource on Earth. It moves all the time. Okay, so if you take, for example, if you dig a little hole on the beach where the waves come, this hole is not going to be there for a long time, because after one wave or two waves, your hole is going to be flat again, right? Because sand moves all the time. So if you take sand from the seafloor, that's going to create a vacuum. And the sand from the beach, because the beach, it's all interconnected. There's the dune, the beach that we know, where we put our towel, and the beach that we don't see. That's the beach which is underwater. It's a three parts organism, let's say. And when you affect one part, when you touch one part, it's going to affect the other ones, basically. So if we take sand from the seafloor, the beach is going to disappear, because the sand is going to move, underwater. If we build a parking lot, a highway, a building, whatever, on the dune, which is the other part of the beach, then the beach, when in the winter, for example, you know, if there is a storm or big wave event, the beach can't go back. Usually, the beach adapts itself to the weather and to the seasons. So in the winter, the beach gets much flatter and much wider, so it can absorb the energy of the waves. If you have a building behind the beach, then the beach can't go back. So it's just swallowed again, you know, by the waves and taken away. And that's where, taken underwater, the seafloor, that's where we take sand. That's our main source of sand now for construction.
Is beach sand?
Well, we've been in the last 50 years, we've been taking sand in quarries and in rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that sand, beach sand, sea sand, and river sand is the same sand. It's just a matter of time. Okay?
Right.
Because sea sand comes from the mountain chains through the rivers. So if you take sand from the river, or if you put a dam on the river that blocks the sand, that's going to affect, again, the beach. It's a very great example of how everything is connected. You know, it's like if you put a dam 1,000 miles from the beach, that's the beach downstream is going to be affected. It's going to disappear.
Is it safe to assume that most people have no idea that sand is used in so many of the products that we take for granted? In fact, sand is used in things we all probably use today, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you point out, toothpaste, cosmetics, all kinds of things, cell phones, computer chips.
There is sand in the mic we are talking through here. There is sand in this computer right here in front of me. There is sand, of course, in the building. There are minerals in sand that are very, very valuable. They are very in silica sand, are very good. We need them for cosmetics. All powdered food products have sand in them. Of course, not like when you eat, you're going to have sand in your mouth.
Right.
But the mineral elements in sand are very important, and we need them. We need them for, you know, to build our society. You know, and when you fly on a plane, there is sand everywhere. There is sand in the paint, in the plastics, in the tires, in the computers, in the glass. It's everywhere. We don't see it, of course, but it's all around us, especially if we live in a building, and most of us live in buildings. They are mostly made of sand. And when you are on the sidewalk, that's 80% of sand right beneath your feet.
It's the foundation of modern development.
It is the definition of development.
You point out in the film, and we'll talk about this in a bit, but in Dubai, they are importing sand from Australia. The obvious question is, why can't they use the sand in the desert?
Dubai is a great example of the irony of, you know, modern development. in Dubai, they have built these artificial islands, you know, the Palm and the World, which is now kind of abandoned, but all the sand is sitting there.
And for people who don't know about this,
yes,
go online right now if you have access and search for the World Dubai and the Palm Dubai, because it's hard to really wrap your head around how they're developing these artificial islands.
You can see them from space.
Right.
That's huge. It's really huge. Actually, you don't see them from the height of a person from the ground level. You don't see them because
right,
it's so huge.
And the World is this development that looks like the world. And so they've got this sand that
yeah,
takes the place of countries. And they imported sand from Australia to make that?
No. They took all the sand on their seafloor to create those islands. But now they are out of sand.
They're out of sand.
They have exhausted sand.
Wow.
And of course, first question that comes to mind is like, come on, Dubai is surrounded by desert. Why don't they just go there and, you know, and help themselves and build as much as they want? The only trick of nature is that desert sand is what scientists call bad sand. And it's bad sand for construction because the grains are too round. They have been polished by the winds and they are very round. They don't stick together at all. So you need sand with rough edges, beach sand or sea sand, beach sand, sea sand, river sand, to build anything or to put in concrete or to reclaim land, whatever.
So since Dubai has used all of its beach sand, it has imported sand from Australia to build the tallest building in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, the Burj Khalifa, it's almost 1 kilometer high, and it's 90% empty. But, you know, it's big. It's like my building is bigger than yours.
Well, and the world is also has been abandoned, right, because of the economic recession?
Yeah, there's nothing there. At the beginning, they wanted to sell these islands to billionaires around the world. But, you know, there's nothing there, nothing interesting.
So this is a $70 billion yearly industry. Can you explain? Okay, let's just talk specifically about Dubai and Australia. Mm. How is the sand, how does it travel from Australia to Dubai?
Ships.
And where does it come from exactly?
On ships. You know, well, Australia is a pretty big country.
Yeah.
It's a continent by itself. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of miles of shore. So sand, there's a lot of sand. And so you dredge the sand and you put it on a ship and on a barge and you cross, you know, the ocean and you sell it to the best payer.
And this is all legal?
That's legal, yeah. I mean, from the point where a country decides to sell its sand, it's all right. If it can be legal, there's a lot of legal. Most of the sand trade around the world is legal. There's a huge part of illegal sand, you know, mining and trade. Of course, it happens in between 65 and 67 countries. You know, it's like it depends. It depends on the time of the year. But in more than 60 countries, let's say there is illegal sand mining. People are going to the beach, taking sand and selling it on the black market, and that's a big issue. People kill for sand in many countries around the world. We shot part of the film, part of Sand Wars, was shot in India, and we only had 5 days of shoot there. And the second day of the shoot, an official got killed by the sand mafia, and so it was very hard. It complicated the whole shoot. We had to go back there, etc. Morocco is a good example. There's a huge mafia. It's the second mafia after marijuana. In India, it's the strongest, the most powerful criminal organization in the country. And it's, you know, there's several countries like that suffering from their natural resource, you know, abuses.
Denis de Lastrec is a journalist, writer, and award-winning director. His latest film is Sand Wars. The documentary investigates the human and environmental costs of intensive beach sand mining around the globe. Every year, more than 15 billion tons of sand is used for homes, skyscrapers, bridges, airports, sidewalks, toothpaste, microchips for cell phones, you name it. And so what are your thoughts on this? Think about what the world would look like without sand. Behind air and water, sand is the most used commodity in the world. If we don't protect sand, this finite natural resource could disappear by the year 2100. So what can we do to protect sand? And if you have any questions about this, it doesn't really get much attention when we talk about things like climate change and environmental destruction. This deserves a lot more attention. It's just not something that we think about on a regular basis. So what questions do you have about sand? And we are also talking about the fact that so many beaches in the world are retreating. In Florida, 9 out of 10 beaches are disappearing. 75% to 90% of the beaches in the world are retreating. What questions do you have if you live close to a beach? Have you seen many changes? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can email feedback@yourcallradio.org. The film Sand Wars will be screened tomorrow at Fort Mason's Cowell Theater in San Francisco. Doors at 6. The film is at 7. There will be a Q&A, and Denis will be there. So let's talk a little bit about dredging. This was really hard to watch because this is just destroying the oceans. First off, can you describe a dredge, what it looks like, how big is it?
Oh, it's a dredge. A dredger is a huge ship. Equipped, you know, with pumps and several, you know, types of tools that basically reach the seafloor and bring the sand, a mix of sand and water, on the ship, and that can be either, you know, sold for, you know, for the building industry, or it can be put back on the beach, because 9 out of 10 beaches also, when the community can pay for that, you know, we put sand back on the beach for the tourists, because they are all affected somehow. They all retreat, and so when the summer comes, you know, arrives, we put sand back on the beach, and so it's like, yeah, it's you know, it's that's the way we develop.
So talk about what this does to the ocean, because we've talked about dredgers. And the fact that they pull in fish, whatever they're looking for, kills everything in its wake. It's like putting it's like bombing basically an entire neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Everything in its wake is destroyed.
Yeah.
Does the same thing happen? It might even be worse if they're grabbing the sand.
Yeah, well, the sand, you know, we could tend to think that sand is like an inert, you know, medium environment with no life in it, but sand on the beach and sand in the sea is full of life. Actually, it's the base of all life at sea. On the seafloor, in this sand, a lot of little organisms live and develop, you know, and those little organisms feed the little fish which live in the bottom of the sea. Those little fish feed the bigger fish, etc., etc. And as you go up in the water column, all life starts in the bottom with the sand, basically. So another thing that is important to know, that we could think that all the bottom, all the seafloor is covered with sand, but it's not like that. The seafloor is rocky, and there's only sand where before there was an ocean there. There's sand where there was a river before the ocean, on the riverbed, like many, many, many millions of years ago. That's where we find sand. Otherwise, on the rest of the seafloor, there may be a very thin layer of sand. But it's not covered with sand at all. There's not so much sand as we could believe.
Has anyone gone in to study what happens to the ocean a week, a year after this happens?
Yeah, there are scientists around the world who are studying the impact of dredging. In France, when we released the film, the day after, I gathered 135 congressmen. and they decided to change the law, the policy in France, thanks to the film. They're using the film as a tool.
Ah.
There's a lot of things happening with this film. The UN is, you know, using it a lot too. So the impact studies, I'm talking about France because that's an example I know well. The impact studies of a dredging were used to be between 3 and 5 months. But between 3 and 5 months, you cannot see the effect of dredging sand, you know, offshore on the beach. You know, you won't see how the beach will be affected in 3 months. It takes much longer. So thanks to all those, you know, meetings we are doing with the Congress and all these congressmen who live, who actually administrate the coastal regions, and they suffer it, you know, firsthand. We have changed the law, and it's going to be not 3 to 5 months impact studies. It's going to be 3 to 5 years. So now we're going to see how the beach is affected. That's only on the policy level. On the scientific level, there's many, many scientists who study sand and the sand, the motion, and how, you know, dredging affects the coastlines. There's many studies, and they all come to the same conclusion that leave sand on the beach, leave sand in the sea. That's where it's needed more than locking it in concrete, basically.
Denis de Lestrac is an award-winning director. His latest documentary is Sand Wars, investigates the human and environmental costs of intensive beach sand mining around the globe. And let's go to a caller. Let's hear from Diane in Oakland. Hi, Diane. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'd like to know a couple of things. First, what is the single most heavy user of sand? Is it construction? And the other thing is, can something replace it?
That's a good question. Construction is a huge consumer of sand, of course, because when we talk about sand in microchips, etc., that's really a drop of water in the ocean of, you know, the sand consumption around the world. So construction for bridges, airports, roads, buildings, you know, power plants, everything. I have a data for you, actually. 80% of what is built in the world is built with concrete. And most of concrete, 80% of concrete, is made of sand and gravel. Okay, so what can replace it? I don't want to tell you everything that's in the film, of course, because I want you guys to go check out the film. But there are many, many, many materials that we can recycle and that we can turn. We can create sand with glass. We can create sand with, when we demolish a building, we can crush the all this and create sand. There's many, many ways we can protect sand and leave it on the beach, and there's many, you know, political solutions also. In a country like Denmark, for example, the construction industry used 90% of the sand it used was natural sand. They put a new law saying that, okay, if you're going to use natural sand, you're going to have to pay a tax, and we're going to use this tax money to help recycling. And now, a few years after, it's 90% of recycled sand they use in this country. So it's one success story that we can reproduce in many countries.
Well, thank you for the call, Diane. We'll talk after the break more about construction and what explains the continued construction of buildings around the world, even when many of these buildings are empty. We'll talk about India, China, Dubai, Spain, and other countries. Today, I'm speaking with Denis de Lestrac. He is a writer and award-winning director. His latest documentary is Sand Wars, and you can see the film tomorrow at Fort Mason's Cal Theater in San Francisco, 6 o'clock. The film is at 7, the doors at 6. Denis will be there along with local environmental groups talking about sand mining in the Bay Area. We'll also talk about that after a break. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW Local Public Radio. If you have a perspective that you haven't heard in today's discussion or a question that you feel needs to be answered, please join the conversation by calling 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. Toll free. You can also send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org or post a comment or question on the show's website, yourcallradio.org. Coming up in a half an hour, it's World Have Your Say from the BBC. Why are children in Nairobi being tear gassed by police? And what would you like to say to the 1%? World Have Your Say from the BBC, 11 o'clock, half an hour from now, here on KALW.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. On tomorrow's show, we'll have a conversation about President Obama's plan to make the first 2 years of community college free for anyone who's willing to work for it. To what extent does a community college education increase economic opportunity? What kind of jobs are available? And what is the mission of community colleges today? We'll talk about that tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, I'm speaking with Denis Delestraque, a journalist, writer, and award-winning director. His latest documentary is called Sand Wars. It investigates the human and environmental costs of intensive beach sand mining around the globe. Behind Aran Water, sand is the most used commodity in the world. Every year, more than 15 billion tons of sand is used for homes, bridges, airports, sidewalks, toothpaste, microchips, you name it. So what questions do you have about sand? Is this something that you've thought about? We'll talk about why this doesn't get more attention when we talk about what's happening to the planet. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Since Diane talked about construction, Denis, you looked at what's happening in India, China, Dubai, and other countries. How do you explain this obsession with construction and continuing, you know, building massive, massive buildings that, in many cases, are empty? What explains this?
Many countries think that building equals development. I'll take the example of Spain, for example. That's where I live. In Spain, there's been a huge building boom, a huge bubble. The percentage of the GDP of, you know, the building industry was about 18%. The average in the world is about 3%, right? So a huge building boom. And the idea was just to make money really quickly. It's not to respond to a demand, because those buildings are going to be too expensive. Those apartments and houses are going to be too expensive anyway, because many people can't afford them. So it's building for building. It's building, you know, just the simple fact of building makes money. It's not, you know, in a offer and demand kind of world. You just build, you take the money and run, right? And so right now there's millions and millions of houses that are empty. Of course, there's millions of people, you know, who couldn't pay for the credit because these houses were just too expensive for them. And the banks just made them think that they could have it, but they couldn't. So foreclosures, that happened in many countries. In China, same thing. But the scale of China, of course, is different. It's not Spain. And there's 60 or 65 million houses that are empty in China. And they are still building a lot. And it gets even more dramatic when you go to other countries. You know that one-third of the world population live in slum, of the world urban population, right? And there's a lot of slums in India. In India, where a huge part of the population lives in slums, there's a building boom also. But they live right next to those new buildings in a slum, and they are never going to be able to afford those buildings. And there are millions of houses empty, and at the same time, there's millions, tens of millions of people living in the streets. It's like it's very bothering.
Yeah, and also in India, you spoke with a number of people who live there who talked about the sand mafia and say that the same people who control the construction in India control the politicians, and the same people control the police. So it's all completely connected.
That's why it's called the mafia.
Right.
That's why it's called the mafia, because it's very corrupt. It goes to the highest spheres of political and economic decisions in the country. And I won't say much more because it's a very, very dangerous subject. A lot of people get killed in India for sand. So it's not a joke.
Does this get reported on much in India?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Check out, get on the internet, check out the India Times, check out, or just go for a search on sand mafia India, and you'll see that the dramatic effect of this mafia in this country. It's a huge country with huge coastlines, a lot of sand. I met politicians very recently. I was invited there to speak about sand. And they said, we have 20 million new people coming in the country every year.
Wow.
And it's a huge country. We are more than a billion. And we have thousands, I don't remember now how many thousands of miles of coastline. And he said, there's not much we can do. We cannot put a cop on every beach in India. Right.
How common is this in other parts of the world, the sand mafia and the corruption that you see?
Sand mafia, there's about 60 countries in the world suffering from illegal sand mining. Sometimes we call it mafia, sometimes it doesn't have a name, but just, people going to the beach and take it at night and take sand and selling it. It happens a lot in the Caribbean. It happens a lot in Africa, many countries of Africa. It happens a lot in Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Cambodia. The effects are really dramatic. Islands are disappearing because of the illegal sand mining. In the Maldives, 120 islands have already disappeared because of sand mining, illegal sand mining.
Wow, so not only are they dealing with climate change, but they're also dealing with sand mining.
It's all together.
Yeah.
Sand mining, the sand is a natural protection against the assaults of the sea, basically, in the storm, the waves. So if you remove sand, then the buffer area gets weaker, and if you remove sand, then the effects of the sea level rise are going to be more dramatic. And we have to understand it. I don't want to get too scientific, but we have to understand one little thing: is that sea level rise doesn't happen from one day to another. It's very slow, right? And sand, as I told you before, is the most dynamic resource on Earth. So sea level is rising, but the sand and the beach adapt itself. It's growing at the same time because the waves, even if they are a little higher all the time, they push the sand in case that's a natural beach. It's not built, right? So they bring the sand on the beach, and the beach adapts itself to the sea level rise. So the beaches around the world, if they are well nourished, if we don't take away the sand, they can adapt to sea level rise. If we remove the sand, then the effects of sea level rise are going to be more and more dramatic. And the erosion of our cities and, the threat on our cities is going to be very, very bad.
Denis Delestraque is a journalist, writer, and award-winning director. His latest documentary is Sand Wars. It investigates the human and environmental costs of intensive beach sand mining around the globe. It's a $70 billion yearly industry. Every year, more than 15 billion tons of sand is used for homes, airports, sidewalks, toothpaste, microchips for cell phones, you name it. If you have any questions about sand and what's happening around the world, we'd love to hear from you. We have also been talking about disappearing beaches. If you live near a beach, what changes have you seen? If you've seen any changes in the sand in your area, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's hear from Harvey in San Francisco. Hi, Harvey. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, yes. Let me take Okay. Hello. If Desert sand is so bad because it's rounded, what, when you use it in concrete, does that matter because the cement would hold it in place? And also mention the use of sand in fracking.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Harvey. Well, the desert sand. Of course, you could put desert sand in concrete if you wanted, but the aggregate, it doesn't aggregate, so the grains don't stick together, and it's very important for concrete to have grains of sand that stick together, because that is the base of the strength of your concrete. If you put sand, there's places in some places of Africa where they create, it's not really concrete, but they use a mix of, you know, mud and sand, desert sand, to create structures. But it's very low structures, and it doesn't hold a lot of weight. There's no stories. It's very low. They do it in very dry environments. So that can hold a few years, and whenever it gets destroyed by the weather and time, and they just rebuild, put another layer on it. But we couldn't imagine to build our cities with the desert sand, because this concrete just wouldn't hold very long. Basically, it would last a few years, and then it would be very risky to live in a building made of concrete with desert sand. So it's dangerous. And another thing I want to say, the deserts around the world are not dead zones. There is a lot of life in deserts, even though we don't always see it or understand it. It's an ecosystem. If you affect the deserts of the world, then you will affect, for example, all the way the planet's temperature regulates. Deserts are very important, as the glaciers, as the oceans. They're all part of this organism that kind of self-regulates. So, and there's a lot of life in the deserts. And if we were to go take sand in the deserts, that also implicates a lot of carrying sand from one place to another, a lot of gas, a lot of trucks. And that's not a solution.
You also point out in the film that the sand has to be treated, and in places like Morocco, they use untreated sand, which is very risky. Can you talk about that?
Well, there is a lot of salt, a lot of sodium in sea sand. So what you do, many places don't have the money to treat it, so they just store it outdoors for a few months, and so it washes by itself, you know, with the rains and with the time. And then the sodium level will go down, and then they use it for construction. The ideal, of course, it's not that. It's have a sand that has no salt in it, because salt is very corrosive, and at one point it's going to become, it's going to become a dangerous concrete, especially in Morocco, in this region where we shot around Tangiers. It's a seismic area, so you can imagine. So you have to wash the sand. That's another problem. If you wash the sand, with fresh water, this fresh water is going to go to the river, and the salt levels in the river is going to increase, and the fauna and all the life in this river is going to be affected also.
Harvey also brought up fracking.
Yeah.
And what do you know about that here in the U.S.? The Christian Science Monitor has a piece about that. Sand has become valuable and deeply divisive, a commodity in the upper Midwest. Dozens of small towns in Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin, they're seeing a huge demand for frack sand, as it's being called, and it's brought a surge of new mining activity, dividing the community.
It is a huge, fracking is a huge consumer of sand. And in the last maybe 10 years, it's increased dramatically. I didn't investigate fracking because there's other people who are doing it very well, and the sand beach sand investigation is still pretty large, pretty big. There's a lot of things to say, and so I've left fracking aside of this film. It's not a film about fracking, and there's very good films about fracking, but it's dramatic. And it's happening across the world. And, of course, it's not only eating a lot of sand. It's just destroying the environment and the planet and the life of a lot of people.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Harvey. Let's go next to Marie-Louise in Palo Alto. Hi, Marie-Louise. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I had two questions, I think. And the first one was, I believe that it was mentioned that one could make material out of plastic and not use sand. But then also I heard that it takes sand to make plastic. So that's one question I have. And the other one is, I am of the understanding that glass, to produce glass, uses up a lot of sand, and I just wanted to ask that question. And for third, I just want to thank you for doing this research and writing this book, because it is so important. Thank you.
Thank you. It's actually a film, a documentary called Sand Wars. And again, you can see it tomorrow at Fort Mason's Cowell Theater in San Francisco. Doors at 6, film at 7. Denis and others in the Bay Area will be there. Do you want to address those questions?
Yeah, so the glass. I'm going to start with the glass. And the glass, actually, that's pretty good news. The glass we use is mostly made of recycled glass now. We don't create brand new 100% new glass, not so much. A lot of glass is recycled, but what we have to do after a while is we have to add new silica, new sand, to add sand to the mix, because otherwise it the quality of the glass is just too bad. So you have to add, I'm not sure about the figures, but I think it's like, every 3 cycles you have to add like 30% of new sand to the glass to keep it strong and, the density and et cetera. So that's one good news. Your question about plastic, I don't know about building with plastic. I don't know. There's many materials that we can use for building, and I think there are more natural materials that would be better for building projects and buildings. You can build with in certain regions with what's there. You can build with wood, with many things, and you can also replace the sand in the concrete whenever there is no alternative to concrete, because you're not going to cut all the forest to leave the beach in its place. So you can replace the sand in the concrete. I think that's one very interesting solution.
Where does this these changes have to come from, and are you seeing people embrace them?
It's kind of hard, I get a lot of people from architect schools calling me and writing me. They are very interested in being able to offer their clients alternate materials, alternate houses. There's many people who want to build a house and they want something different. Not because of sand. They don't really think about sand. They just want another, a greener way of living. The problem is that if you go to a builder, a house building company, most of the time it's going to offer you what? A house made of, concrete. And that's a problem. And there are big lobbies behind the sand and the aggregate industry. It's a very strong industry. It's very strong. The big guys in the aggregate industry, so who go get the sand for you to build, there are billion revenue companies. They are very big, and we don't hear too much about them because it's not sexy.
Right. Well, and why doesn't sand get more attention? We don't hear much about this.
Did you pay attention to sand before?
No. I mean, I love going to the beach, but I read about the ocean, I read about climate change, I read about what's happening to the reefs, but you rarely ever read about sand.
You don't think
in
about
those
it.
Stories.
You don't think about it because we don't respect sand. We don't respect it because we think it's there. We take it for granted. It's on the beach. And, it's, after all, it's just sand. But we don't value it because I would like people, and that, you know, I was at a screening yesterday in a festival where we got a couple of awards. Actually, we were very happy. The Wild and Scenic Festival, a very nice festival. And people were coming at me to me after the screening, and they say they didn't have any question, the Q&A. They were like, they just said thank you. And they said thank you. I've been to the beach for all my life, and now the next time I go to the beach, I will see it in a brand new way. And I will value those grains of sand, because now I know each grain of sand, as Rachel Carson said more than half a century ago, each grain of sand is a history book of the earth. And each grain of sand is at least 20,000 years, and it's come a long way to reach the beach and for you to enjoy it. So,
Well, thank you for calling in, Marie-Louise. Let's go to another caller, Karen in San Francisco. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. So I saw Sand Wars at the San Francisco Ocean Film Festival last year. Incredibly powerful. I loved it. But my question for you is, just as an ordinary citizen, what can we do? Do you have any recommendations?
That's a very good question. One good thing that you did already is watch the film and talk about it. I'm sure you talked about the issue of sand around you, and that raises a consciousness. So I think when there is a problem like this one that most of people don't know about, the first step is knowing there is a problem to start, you know, finding solutions. What can you do? If you're not in politics, if you're not in the industry, if you're not going to build a house, I don't want to be pessimistic, but just be there, talk about it, and make the information travel around the world. There's good things happening also. The UN issued a special report after they saw the film. And so, but I really believe in the power of the people to bring people like you and I to bring the issue up to the politicians. They need to understand that they are not going to do it without us. That's all. That's where we play a big part. We need to make the sand issue reach the political decision-making spheres. That's very important, because we are not going to be able to make a law by ourselves. We need people, we need the lawmakers, we need the policymakers to work on sand, to understand there is a problem, and we need them to... they can't look on the other side now. And that's thanks to us, that's thanks to films, and thanks to talking about it. Mm. And when you go to the beach, you have to say to appreciate what you have. They need to understand that.
And tomorrow's screening, again, Sand Wars, it's part of the San Francisco International Ocean Festival. It's 6 o'clock is the doors, and 7 o'clock the film begins. Denis Delestrac, the filmmaker, will be there along with local environmentalists. Will also be there Brian Baird with the Bay Institute, Sejal Chotsky with the San Francisco Baykeeper, and Ben Grant, Urban Design Program with SPUR. And you can find more information at yourcallradio.org. Thank you for calling in, Karen. Let's go next to Arturo. Hi, Arturo. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Rose, and to your guest. Two questions. First of all, what will be the admission prices for this film festival at Fort Mason, sliding scale or no? The second is, do you have any knowledge of sand acquisition that might be taking place, say, on the coast of Colombia, the Guajira Peninsula, adjoining areas of Venezuela, or certainly the islands, all of which are ripe for looting? Thanks.
Thank you. I'll find the ticket information.
Yeah, the question was about the coast of Colombia, sand mining in Colombia?
Venezuela.
Venezuela. We haven't shot there, haven't explored the issue in this part of the world, but I've been traveled pretty often to Colombia, actually, and I saw, from what I saw, the erosion on the Caribbean side. There's a beautiful places, Santa Marta, and there's many, many beautiful places there. And there's a lot of construction also going on. in Barranquilla and Cartagena, which are beautiful cities that are becoming very, very, very trendy. There's been a lot of construction also, and there's, from what I know from friends there is a lot of illegal sand mining also. But I didn't investigate it myself, and what I saw was, you know, just eroding beaches.
Mm. Well, thank you for calling. The tickets are $15 for tomorrow's screening. Students and seniors, people over 65, $10. Children 12 and under, $8. And again, you can find information at yourcallradio.org. Thank you for calling in. You talked about France taking steps to deal with this. The UN is dealing with this. What laws would you like to see implemented to deal with disappearing sand?
Well, there's many things. I don't think there is one solution. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's many things. I was talking about what they did in Denmark. That's one beginning of solution, okay? Put a price on natural sand, put a tax on natural sand, and use this tax to help people who want to use other materials, to recycle other materials. That's one possibility. Another thing we can do, and that's not directly an action on the beach, another thing we can do is when, you know, I was talking about China, 60 million houses are empty. And there's a lot of people who are, you know, who can't afford a living. And we are still building a lot at the same time. So stop building. Mm. Fill the houses. Give access to housing to those people. You will not need to build more. I mean, we are building empty apartments. That's stupid. That's, you know, policy is here for something. It should work.
If we continue down this path, you say that sand could disappear by the year 2100. I mean, that's kind of hard to imagine.
Yeah,
but that's
that's true. And the problem is that it's not that I say, it's that all the scientists around the world agree on that. They all agree on that. By 2100, if you want to see a beach, you're going to have to go to a history book. Yeah.
You're going to be at the film tomorrow speaking, mm-hmm. and your goal is to just be sure that political leaders see this and start raising more awareness about it.
I think it's important.
Denis Delestraque is a journalist, writer, and award-winning director. His latest documentary is Sand Wars. Denis will be at the screening tomorrow at Fort Mason's Cowell Theater in San Francisco. Doors at 6. The film is at 7. Find information at yourcallradio.org. Denis, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for raising awareness about this.
See you guys tomorrow.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. Community college mean less inequality? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation about President Obama's plan to make the first 2 years of community college free for anyone who's willing to work for it. To what extent does a community college education increase economic opportunity? What kind of jobs are available to people with two-year degrees? And what is the mission of community colleges today? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Nock Nguyen produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, and Matt Martin is executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.